What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey guys, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Crazy Ex-Girlfriend After Show. We're going to be talking all about Paula not really knowing who her sons are, Rebecca's little brother Tucker, and Frat Grosso. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I'm wearing my Fat Regoso bathrobe. I just want to.
I thought you were wearing your preteen Hollywood Trainwreck bathrobe.
No, no, that's my shirt.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
And I'm wearing my preteen Hollywood Trainwreck hair right now.
Thank you guys for joining us today for the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Brianna Phipps, and I have both my co-hosts with me here today. This is the first time all three of us. Can you go ahead and let them know who you are?
Look at God. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, you know, and I'm back here at the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend After Show after being gone for 2 weeks. I'm ready.
I'm Teron.
He's Teron.
He's comfortable.
If you don't know, you can look at the hat.
Ask Fat Regoso. Fat Regoso knows.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking all today about Paula's whole thing with her sons and her escape room. We're going to be talking about Sunil going after this
Yamamoto
lawsuit. And we're going to be talking about Rebecca and her little brother, Tucker.
Tucker.
And we, of course, have our crazy meter and our song selection and some predictions coming up, plus the news and gossip. So you're going to want to stay tuned to the end. What was your guys' overall thoughts on this episode?
My favorite episode of the season so far, episode 4. I really like this one. I know we were talking about slow starts and like we weren't sure where the direction was going when we first started talking about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend this season, but I actually really like this one. And I think it has to do with Rebecca gets manipulated herself and she's not the manipulatee, I guess. I think I like that kind of storyline, and I think Tucker played a really, really good role in this episode.
I completely understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. She would be the manipulator, and this time she's the manipulatee. Yep. However, this episode, which I really enjoyed, wasn't one of my favorite of the season, simply because I don't see how it pushes the storyline forward. It's very enjoyable. It's fun. And, of course, Tucker's one crazy mother. Here's the thing. The concept is, last episode, at least we understood where Rebetzel's pretzels came from and the Nathaniel storyline. This one seemed to be a little more filler. I understand that Tucker is a pertinent part of Rebecca's life, but he really isn't. He hasn't been in the storyline. He didn't really come up. There's only been mentions and glimpses of him and his mother, Marissa, in the entirety of the show. The song was fun, but it wasn't. There was no epiphany within it. And there was nothing else other than the fact that at the very end, we get the taste of, you will never be with me. We're not right for each other. You are toxic. That concept with Nathaniel. And that's the major focal line for the season's plot line. Other than that, this was kind of a filler episode, but it was very fun.
Yeah, I agree with you. I can see what you mean by there. It was very filler. Besides the ending, there wasn't really much to do with the plot line. I don't think we'll see Tucker again.
I could totally understand, but I think it just shows Rebecca's growth in a sense, you know, seeing that she plays a role where she's taking the responsibility throughout the whole four episodes that we've seen so far.
I mean, there was definitely callbacks to older
small here
episodes
and there.
here and there, and it was fun. I'm just saying, I agree with him that it really didn't push a storyline too much.
What do you guys think about that? Because, you know, we see in the beginning of all these episodes, old episodes from the past seasons or whatnot, which obviously tie into these episodes. You think it's getting boring seeing that? You know what I mean? Like when she was leaving her her corporate job, and she said, "I need to eat because I haven't eaten and I'm nervous and blah blah blah." And she did the same thing.
I don't mind callbacks, especially because it's the final season. Mm-hmm. I think that they want to kind of like wrap it all up
and tie it all in.
And so I think that they're really doing a lot of fan service in that, but I don't mind it.
Okay,
because it's the final season, I don't need the filler. It's a final season. If there was a season five, then this would be fine. However, there is not.
And do you think
every
it's
episode
because,
should be important?
Do you think it's because they have an 18-episode order instead of 13 that they're like trying to figure out how to make it stretch?
That would definitely make sense production-wise. Mm. It would definitely make sense writing-wise. I do see that there will be an arc later on that will be extremely important, where it's going to be three episodes, where we're going to have to watch to find out what happens. But as of right now, they are definitely filling time.
Like clump storylines, three episodes.
I do think that they are filling time. There's like little hints, like they're even with, and we'll get into it. Let's get into it because we're going to talk about Paula and her sons first. Mm-hmm. So we get this storyline with Paula, and it starts in the very beginning where she's at Rebetzel's Pretzels, and her sons are, what did she call them, screen zombies?
She did.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, most people I feel like nowadays, that
teenagers.
Was a little dig at the... Not even just teenagers, okay?
Oh, well, you're talking about, okay, like, my parents get like that, too, now that they know how to use Facebook now.
Or just playing games. I think lots of people are screen zombies now. But we have the little interaction with her and Rebecca there, and the only reason I want to bring that up right away is just because this is the only other part I don't think was filler, and I think was a little bit of a foreshadow, was when she says that she needs to make amends with her brother. And Paula kind of shuts out that, what about your mom and your dad and the professor and XYZ. Greg. So I think that was like foreshadowing of some things we're going to see. I'll get late more into it in predictions, but I just wanted to like point that out really
fast.
We'll
definitely see Greg, and we know that for
sure.
Well,
we know that,
right?
Yeah. But Paula kind of has this underlying tone that she is trying to spend more time with her kids. They started this last season. We see it with them going to this escape room, and she finds out she doesn't really know who her kids are.
And she never really knew who her kids were, you know, from the seasons past or whatnot.
But now she's realizing it.
Right, finally. Which is funny, too, because her youngest son totally went through puberty from the last season.
Oh, my God,
season.
He's huge.
He looks totally different.
Tommy. I mean, we're talking about
Tommy
and Brendan.
Tommy.
So Tommy's the younger one, and
yeah,
Tommy,
so Tommy has
gone
has gotten very tall.
Well, he's as he puts in his own words, he's a grown boy.
A grown boy, that's true. Yeah, that's right. True. That's what he said.
And then Brandon's her older son, who looks pretty much the same. Because he's already gone through his puberty.
He's a grown man.
What do you guys think of her realization that she doesn't know him? Because I think that this could be a kind of thing where parents just assume that they don't know their kids because when they're teenagers, like, they don't have a relationship. But it seems like her sons kind of are like, you haven't had the relationship. It's not us. It's you.
I mean, I think, like, we as teens felt like our parents should know what we're doing. When I was younger, I always think, oh, my parents, they know they're going to catch on, blah, blah, blah. And they were clueless, you know, until I started talking to them. So this is kind of true to real life. Some people, you know, have different parenting skills, and they automatically think, oh, you know, they're going through their teen angsty stuff. I don't, you know, they're going to get over it. I'm going to deal with it later on, and we're going to have a better relationship as we get older. You know what I mean? And some parents are just harped on their kids all the time. So it seemed to be, you know, truthful in a sense or whatnot, and it could be like a total reality type situation. And I just don't know why it took her so long to have to. I mean, maybe because there's no distraction anymore. Rebecca's, you know, taking care of herself or whatnot. She doesn't have the distraction along that she used to have because Rebecca filled the void that she was supposed to have with her kids.
Well, that just sounds like, you know, an excuse. So Paula's never been an exceptionally good mother, and she
never.
Knows it, and it's been a part of the storyline as well. However, in this particular episode, Paula's a very good mother. This is not anything that's uncommon when we look at parenting now in the millennial age or before that, where the teenagers and the parents are at odds, and parents don't know their teenagers, and teenagers don't want to get to know their parents. I remember going through that struggle of having to go out with your parents when you're in that teenage zone, and you just want to be at home, you just want to be left alone,
right.
And you just want to sleep for whatever reason and eat every now and then. So we learn a lot about Tommy and Brendan. But they learn a lot about themselves as well. And Paul is learning with us. She's learning with us, and she learned something very viable. Not only did she learn about the vegan thing and the dating and the Renaissance fairs and that Tommy's actually smart and not some dead weight in mm-hmm. the caravan, she also learns she actually kind of likes her sons, that she likes them. They're likable people. They're fun. They're charming. They're cute. And she kisses Tommy at the end on the cheek, and it's just like a very tender moment. It's very sweet. It's not anything unheard of.
Yeah, and it's just nice to see, too. Like we said, like she treated Rebecca like that throughout the whole time. Like she was raising Rebecca versus raising her sons.
Yeah.
And now we see that beautiful, tender moment at the end.
I think the most surprising part for me wasn't even that Paula didn't know her sons, because we knew that, like you guys said. It was more that her sons
were
friends with each other.
They were actually friends with one another.
That they go to these restaurants, that their brother's proctor.
Right.
So I thought that was like a little fun thing that they had that relationship with each other, because they've never explored that as much. It was, I have an older sister. When she was first in high school and I wasn't, it's not like she wanted to spend time with me. So I think that's like the more obvious way to go with these kind of relationships, so that they actually had them be friends. And
right.
That which was is funny, cool. though,
because when we look at their relationship from the past seasons, they never really fought. We just thought they just didn't like each other.
I think it's just something you assume happens.
Yeah.
Within it, plus because the family itself is so dysfunctional, because the parents aren't really involved in the kids' life, you figure that nobody in this family really gets along. So
I'm waiting for Steve Monroe to come back soon and see him do his barbershop quartet. Yep.
But it was a nice little ode, and I hope we get to see more of Tommy and Brenda maybe in the season, in the future of the season, because I like exploring some of these other characters and their storylines rather than just Rebecca's as well.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting a song from the brothers, and we never got one.
I was too.
There was a situation, especially because of the limited facilities within the escape room itself. I thought, surely we're going to get a song, some type of medieval, you don't know me, I don't know you song. But we never did. We only got one single song in this episode.
100% thought that was a missed opportunity. I was thinking
maybe,
about that too.
Maybe they don't want us. I don't know. I don't know what the contracts are, but maybe they can't sing.
I don't know.
Well, it's not like we haven't had songs from people who cannot sing.
True. Yeah.
What I was expecting was something, especially coming off the heels of the pretzel song, which was just
Paula.
Short. So something could have come up in the situation, but it didn't. It didn't play out. I also expected them to finish the escape room in record time or something of that nature.
But you felt like
it was something that was spoken on the show, where everyone's shocked how fast they did it. And that didn't come out either.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was just like a very small vehicle to help us make us feel that Paula is now becoming a better mother, at least realizing that she needs to be a better, more involved mother.
Right. That felt like a filler scene, because I felt like they could have taken that to even more levels and concentrated a story on that itself, or the relationship with her and her sons, that in itself or whatnot.
I think that goes back to what we were saying about it just being a kind of filler episode. It's like a lot of it didn't push through the storyline, so it felt like kind of like they didn't spend a ton of time developing.
But it was really fun.
It was a lot of fun.
No, but there's just no point unless it plays later. So unless Tucker comes back, which is very possible, the brothers have some type of insight where their intelligence from all these things that we learn about them plays a part, things of that nature, which may pay off later. But as of now, clearly filler.
Right. And I feel like it could. They are smart writers, and usually everything ties in after, as the season goes or whatnot. And I'm going to use that excuse for that 18-episode stretch. You know what I mean? Yeah. And let's hope it kind of just comes back through.
Well, going on to another little side storyline, we got Sunil, who Paula brought in. Mm-hmm. I like seeing him back. So we have this little side storyline of him and Mrs. Hernandez fighting out for this trial and who's going to be the paralegal that takes it over. And she's doing all this work for it while he makes the negotiation with Nathaniel that he will help him get Rebecca back in exchange for the case.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love when she talks, by the way, just
Miss Hernandez.
Now that Mrs. Hernandez talks.
Yes, because she never usually talks. Miscommunications or whatnot. I thought it was good. It was nice to see Sunil or whatnot. Could there have been another way that they discovered that Rebecca's brother was using her besides that storyline? Maybe.
The reason it felt weird to me was that I think I'm so accustomed to seeing now George be the right-hand man to Nathaniel and helping out, and he wasn't in this episode. So if someone was going to be that for Nathaniel, I thought it would have been George and not Sunil. So Sunil seemed like a weird choice. I did like seeing him again because I like seeing these little characters come back, but it just seemed like a weird dynamic.
I don't know
for
if Sunil seemed like a weird choice when you think of the overall concept of the show and how diverse its cast is and it shows and plays in different ways. So we see Sunil and Miss Hernandez, and their storyline is actually very fun. I don't know if it would be as fun if George was involved. I don't know if the payoff for George, he would have won, and we wanted Miss Hernandez to win. And, of course, she did because she always gets the case, and she did in this situation as well. And I feel like George would have accomplished it without Nathaniel being the one who had to make the
I think the reason I thought it was a little weird is if they're going to make the choice to use Sunil and they're going to make the choice to make this about Peter Pan and a musical. And we already know Sunil's past and how much he loves musicals. I felt like there was going to be some sort of playoff with that, and they didn't go anywhere with it. Or something. Or he was going to audition.
Or he was the one.
Or he would.
It happened by chance or something. Sure.
Yeah, but they didn't go into that. And I was kind of like, why did we put these kind of characteristics together and not go there? Mm-hmm. So that was the weird part for me.
And once again, it didn't stretch all the way where it could have stretched. The storyline could have stretched even further. It fell short just a little bit more.
Like, even if it just turned into him all of a sudden getting to the audition room and being like, and like wanting to audition himself or something.
Something to play on that. Sure.
But so that was Sunil's little storyline there for that. He doesn't get the case because he doesn't do the work, and he also doesn't get Nathaniel. Rebecca, he gives him some information, but not knowing he's giving him that information.
Right.
Really. So that, but you know, again, I like seeing him. I like that he's in this law office, and I hope to see more and that they do more with his character moving forward. We have some information for you guys moving forward that Tehran can let us know a little bit about.
Well, I just want to let all the AfterBuzzers know that our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. So hit that subscribe button now for the channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we will thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. We really do appreciate you coming in here every week, not just for our show, but for all of our shows. We really enjoy having you chat along with us in the comments. So definitely be there. Nino's in our live chat right now, so if you want to chime in on any of your thoughts on this episode, go ahead and write it in. He'll call you out there.
Right. We're on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify now. So you can find us everywhere, guys. Listen to us on your ride through traffic.
All right. Let's get into this main storyline for this episode. So Rebecca and her little half-brother, Tucker.
Tucker.
So Tucker, and the reason he was being compared to Trent in a lot of articles I saw, being like that he's almost like a mini Trent.
Not as creepy, though.
Not as creepy
as Trent.
I don't know.
Not yet,
Tucker
maybe.
Tucker seemed a little creepy, to be honest. He's a grown little man in a kid's body. Very manipulative, obviously. We get this redeeming factor of him at the end where he becomes a kid. However, there was no indication of that throughout the show. He ma-ha-ha-ha-has in the bathroom as he understands exactly what he's doing and why he's doing it.
Well, so Tucker was going to Rebecca's. We find out at the end that it's because he wants to get this Peter Pan audition. He wants to be Peter Pan. He wants to be a childhood train wreck star.
Hollywood train wreck.
Pre-teen Hollywood train wreck.
There we go.
And through it all, they seem very similar. And that's because he has found her diary behind the toilet of his dad's house, or I guess what used to be his dad's house, and is now trying to emulate her so much that she likes him so that he can get this audition. So he's very much like Rebecca in that kind of way, because she does manipulate things to get what she wants as well.
The diary just kind of helped enhance it, because he does have Rebecca tendencies all over with everything he did, from the manipulation to the love of musicals, and being the center of attention or whatnot, and doing anything and everything to basically get his way there. I think the Fet Ragamo stuff is basically Fet Ragoso. Sorry for your brand deal, my bad. Fet Ragoso stuff is what he sold to get the tickets to, you know, to get over there.
Well, at least he didn't buy drugs, as Rebecca suggested and joked, but suggested.
There was also a lot of articles kind of comparing this child actor with the one that plays young Rebecca. I can't remember the actress's name at the moment, but that they have a lot of similarities in the way they act or in the way they talk.
Yeah, I think they actually did a really good job with this guy who they casted. He's actually a recurring character on the show You on Lifetime. So this guy is a working actor. He's pretty funny. He's really good.
He goes from one show about stalking to another show about stalking through a diary.
Right. So, you know, I mean,
at least he stays in character.
Exactly.
We talked about the similarities between Rebecca and Tucker, mm-hmm. which we actually find out the original ones are made up. The ones where they like pretzels are funny treats for teens mm-hmm. and gasp, the word gasp, and right. Dad is garbage, and the construction experience that they both have.
I think that's
the
real, though.
I think that construction
sure.
At the end, she says, like, sure. You don't, I have to pay for someone to go to the construction yeah. site. So that mm-hmm. one part, I think, is real, but yeah.
Sure.
A lot of it's made up.
Panic room, slumbered. Slumbered was a big mm-hmm. overall theme. And the construction experience is the same, but their take from it is different. But then we see him claim I'm dumb, stupid, and fat, and was a depressing reminder of how Rebecca views herself as well. Mm-hmm. And is it an outcome? Is it nurture versus nature? Is it the concept of being brought up in this home? Rebecca constantly reminds him, in the past especially, even though they're estranged, that his mother is, even AJ brings it up, you mean this is the spawn of your father's whore? Mm-hmm. So it comes to pass. But what we find very shocking, or at least I did, is that Rebecca is much like her mom, mm-hmm. where she's explaining to AJ what her mom's like, and then she does the exact same, which is ignore AJ's stories and only talks about herself, just like her mother.
It's a cycle. I mean, obviously, you know what I mean? Where it comes from, it's a cycle that keeps on going back and forth, and it's how she was raised and how he was raised. It kind of came back to the child again. And how they were affected. And I think right when she saw that, she was like, I got to get you in therapy because that was me.
Well, I like the parallel of Rebecca ran away from her mom to go see her dad.
And he
ran away to go see her. Mm-hmm. Both of them kind of like viewing these people as someone that's going to give them something they want or need. Mm-hmm. You know, for her, it was love. For him, it's a career as a childhood actor. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of light years ahead of Rebecca in the ways that he's already, like, kind of the ways he's manipulating. Rebecca was a smart kid, but she didn't understand how to manipulate people. I think she, like, kind of learned that as she went on, whereas he's kind of already there. And he's, what, like, has to be, like, 13, 14?
Yeah.
I mean, he's supposed to be about Tommy's age, right? Because they were going to have that play date. Because I was kind of like, wait, are they the same age?
He's not Tommy's age. And that's the funny thing is that people always assume that parents' kids, they are the same age when it's not.
But they said that. They said you're about the same age.
But that's why it was the reference, I believe, the sardonic reference to the fact that they're not the same age. They're not the same height. They don't have the same interests. But that's the concept, is that you should be friends with my friend's kids because we're the parents in the situation. Where you'll see frequently, it was like, go play with the kids.
But one's 10, one's 15.
I'm 4. Yeah, I'm 4 and he's 26. Like, why are we sitting at the same table?
Right.
But we move the story along. The thing that this show does so well for me, because I'm a Broadway person, is it has these little, like, Broadway hints. And so, and it also has the two things I love. So the Broadway hints and the call outs that it's a TV show. Both of those things I really enjoy. And they did both of them in this episode, being that Tucker really wants to go to Hollywood. He wants to do the touristy thing. And she makes that kind of remark of, like, oh, I've never done the touristy stuff. You know, I've only been here. And Paula's Kitchen. Not for the whole house, though. Like, she's calling out, we're on sets, you know, even though we film in Hollywood. And then also the part where Peter Pan reference is like, boy, why are you crossing? Instead of, boy, why are you crying? And that's, like, instantly you knew it was going to be Peter Pan if you have. So I love those little tiny call-outs, even if they're the boy, why are you crossing? It's, like, a little bit awkward, but I love that they kind of throw that in there for those fans.
They also throw in a lot of social commentary. And while I believe that Tucker is 11 or 12, since he's the preteen child, like Hollywood Rec, the reference of, oh, female director, oh, it's a play, it's theater, we're allowed to do that in theater.
Right.
Not TV or movies. Those little things, those little stabs that Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's famous for, were very pertinent in this episode and very interesting. And also, when you live in LA, you don't go on touristy things. And that's also
touristy,
something that gets
called
out.
You go
on
touristy things when people visit you.
Right.
Exactly. And that's another thing. It's little things that have such a huge double entendre when it comes to this episode and being in Hollywood and understanding it.
It was funny because I thought about that too. When I was in New York just last week, I go and I visit family. I don't usually do the touristy things. When I was with friends, we did it. You know what I mean? Because we haven't done it. Same thing with LA. I don't think about going on the city tour buses or anything like that. And so
or the murder tour.
Or the murder tour, which I heard is really interesting, by the way.
I'm sure it is, but it's probably not child appropriate.
It's right off
Sunset.
Right, I mean,
maybe
Sunset.
This child. He might this be able to handle grown
man.
It.
Right,
this grown total man. Grown man. This grown boy. But yeah, I lost my train of thought, but I definitely agree. You don't necessarily do those type of things.
Well, and then we get the thing where he manipulates Rebecca and makes it seem like it's her idea to force him into this audition, where we get to see, what's his name again?
Colin.
Colin. Thank you. I wrote it down.
Colin.
Colin, who is, you know, sex tape Josh, as I call him. So he is being Captain Hook in this production of Peter Pan, and he helps them get the audition, which Tucker blows right away by going on a monologue of how he wants to be a big star just so he can be a train wreck.
I love that they wrote this. I mean, it's great. Lindsay Lohan just had another breakdown a couple of weeks ago where she tried to steal a kid because she was drunk in Russia and wanted to give him a hotel, but parents said no, and she did all this live
accused.
On...
The abused. Parents of kidnapping right. their own child.
And she did this all live on IG Live, right?
And spoken an accent she doesn't have.
Spoken accent she doesn't have. So, that I mean, just all that right there was hilarious enough for this song. It's funny.
We'll get into the song, you know, a little bit more later. We'll go really delve into it. Mm. But I just want to make sure that we get through the storyline of Rebecca as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we get the little bit of her also pushing when he fails at this audition. They go to the hotel. She still tries to get him another audition with the director. Sunil tries to get the audition with the director. I felt so bad for this director at the end of it. She's been...
I'm sure these directors
never feel bad for directors.
Just this one director.
No, Angela, the director, was offered a bunch of money and sold out for it. So do
that
not feel
true.
Bad.
That is true. I didn't
again,
feel bad for her anymore
director.
Later. But.
She's a play director. She's a director of theater, so it doesn't
Was this equity?
Well.
How about if it was equity?
Unless it's Hamilton, we're not talking about much.
But we get past there, and Nathaniel has found this little connection that he can use this diary to connect with Rebecca better. So he
Thanks
kind of teams
Sunil.
Up with Tucker. He's like, I'll get you the role. You give me the diary. But blows it by reading, you know, Slumbered. The final
I like how
not
like,
well
no,
written
don't do
monologue
don't
from
do
Slumbered.
Right.
And that's how she finds it all out. Which also, I loved the little Disney nod of like it's in the vault.
It is in the vault.
We can't get right. the.
I've written them.
Can't stream. Can't get,
Tucker at that point seems a lot more like Nathaniel actually, mm-hmm. and the two connect very quickly and enter negotiations very quickly. So it might go to show why we see Rebecca have an affinity towards Tucker. Tucker has a lot of some Rebecca qualities, but has a lot of Nathaniel qualities as well. Manipulative. Calculated, conniving, and shows them all. They have no problems with one another. In fact, I find Nathaniel respects Tucker, how quickly he gets to the point of negotiating, how quickly he says, I don't have much time, how clever he is on the draw when Rebecca's there and tells her to go get her stuff so that he has time to have a conversation with Nathaniel. There's nothing childish about him, even though he displays childish actions, there's no childlike behaviors.
Yeah. Right, quick wit and ready to go.
And what do you guys think about this? Because when she figures it out, when she figures out, you know, they both stole my diary, they're manipulating me in this way, Tucker gets off pretty easy, in my opinion. And Nathaniel, she gets told, this is it, this is done, we're over. Do you feel like that was too harsh of a thing to do to Nathaniel?
I think she was looking for a lead in to get him off her back because she wants to concentrate on herself right now. And this was a perfect time and opportune moment for her to be like, see what you did there? This cannot work out right now. I need to do me and you need to do you. And that's just how it's going to be right now. She was looking for something like this to be able to get that space from him. You know what I mean? And I think the reason why she was a little bit more relaxed on Tucker was because she saw a lot of herself in him. Even though she, you know, didn't hear the self-loathing or anything.
But even
right
like
away.
That's a little ironic to say, because even with what Nathaniel did is a lot like Rebecca.
Right.
Rebecca, I would see Rebecca doing the same thing, but even taking it to a further extent.
I
agree. That's the only reason I'm like, is she being too hard on
him? The Rebecca that we know. Now, the Rebecca that we're getting to know is very different.
Right.
I would say this, that what we have developed as something we accept is something that the new Rebecca is seeing as toxic behavior. However, in some cases, and this is one of those rare cases, whereas sometimes this toxic behavior is understandable if you understand it and accept it within yourself. Rebecca and Nathaniel are a great team, mm-hmm. and they are actually very good together. Whether we like what they do or not, they are. The challenge needs to be that they change their toxicity and the poison into medicine instead. That's the concept. Is it's the same thing. It's just you have to use it in the right way. If they use it for if they use their powers for good.
Right.
But see, that's, I think, what I wanted is I wanted her to kind of call that out. Like, you are exhibiting these behaviors that I've done myself. Like, I kind of wanted her to go there with him.
Well, she projects a lot. She projects and never realizes that a lot of these things, as we saw in the beginning with her, with the concept of her mother, she projects and Rebecca constantly finds excuses and reasons without actually understanding.
I don't think she's ready yet. That's where it is. She's not ready to accept it all in 100%. She's accepting other things that she's done. She's taking claim to the wrongs that she's done. She's just not ready to be at that point in time with her love life, like it to be 100% healed and corrected. So that's why I think she's still running away from some of her problems, and that's one of them. And he has a perfect chance for her to be like, you did that. I'm not going to mess with you right now. And that's just going to be the way it is. Here's yep. another excuse for me not to want to be with you.
And the play is Peter Pan, mm-hmm. about the boy who never grows up. So that's actually a lot of the men in the show mm-hmm. are boys who never actually grow up. And then we see the exact dichotomy with the two boys who have grown up and their mother hasn't even realized it. Mm-hmm. And they're the only two who have grown up in the show.
Right.
They're actually grown up.
Because you have Josh who still lives with Hector's mom. You know, I mean, Hector, who the last episode didn't want to go to the doctor because he didn't have health insurance and it was too expensive. You know, Nathaniel just still in that chasing girl phase and not knowing what to do yet. So you're right. You know what I mean? That's just such yeah. a great juxtaposition. I mean,
this show deals a lot, which is why I think they brought Tucker on actually mm-hmm. with the fact that like the things in your childhood like stop you from growth and being who you should be in your adult life. Mm-hmm. And that's why Rebecca makes the decision like you have to go to therapy because that's what I need at your age and that's what you need now.
And she never got it really. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. The one thing I did take away from that though is that they kept talking about how slumbered is something that nobody knows. And I was like, do we not remember the first season where it was literally sung at a wedding? I felt like that was kind of a weird thing to go be like, nobody knows this now, but we sang it at a wedding in the first season.
I
think what they mean by nobody knows it is that because it's not readily available, it's the concept of It's the underground material that's extremely popular. And we see a lot of things like that. It's like when people quote Princess Bride and go, I can't believe you've seen it. Everyone has seen it. It's something very similar. And that's the concept of the animated movie Slumbered, which I'm going to predict we get by the end of the season, or at least a glimpse of it. They've nodded
a little more
it.
Than the little bird we got. Mm-hmm.
I think we get an animated something. Or other. It's based on, you know, any of these fairy tale cartoons that exist. So that's the nod. The nod is no one knows Slumbered because everyone knows Slumbered.
Okay.
Who sang it at the wedding? Was it Lea Salonga?
Yep. Lea Salonga, who was Princess Jasmine.
Right, that was
the whole Disney tie-in.
Connection.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of songs, though, let's get into some of the songs of these episodes. And I say songs because...
There was a reprise of one
indescribable moment that we get from Tucker, or instance, sorry, not moment. Mm-hmm. And he's an actually very good singer, mm-hmm. which I love that they're playing with this a lot. I love that they're going off on this, like, Rebecca is only a good singer in her head, but really is not a good singer.
Right.
Because I think that is everybody. Everybody thinks they're a better singer, except for people that actually can sing. They think they're a better singer than they really are.
Like, but we could sing like Beyonce when we're in the shower, but, you know, everywhere else, we're like a Michelle.
Exactly.
Ooh, yeah.
Shots fired.
Whose show just came out this weekend?
I know. I'm just joking, Michelle. Shout out to you.
No, you weren't.
But yeah, so we get the little reprise from him, which was our first kind of introduction to the fact that he could sing or that he had these musical theater aspirations in any kind of way. What did you guys think of this part?
I love this song. I love the whole part.
It's cute. It's fun. It's filler.
I just liked that they had all the Hollywood Boulevards around him because...
And clap for him afterwards. Like, you know, it's a moment.
Because of, all the people performing on Hollywood Boulevard. I just like that nod of, like, that people do go to Hollywood Boulevard and just set up and try to perform and try to get noticed. And
you have everybody just walking up and down Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset singing. So then, like, maybe one day a record exec could just come down from Capitol and who's that singing in the corner?
Well, I think a lot of people still hold on to this old Hollywood idea.
Yeah, you hope.
That's just of, like, being noticed by happenstance.
That's how Toni Braxton got, you know, she was singing in a gas station and some record exec was like, you're dope. I need to sign you. Doesn't happen much anymore, but you could post it on YouTube and get noticed that way.
So it was fun filler, but I just, as an LA person or someone in the industry, I thought that was a fun little nod to that. But then the only, like you said, real actual music video-esque song that we got was this Child Star. Train wreck.
A lot of those kids in there, professional dancers with Block, obviously, but they've been huge. One guy's name is Shaden Gabriel. He was the So You Think You Dance 13 winner. He was up there with them. One of them is a Mouseketeer, Big Will Simmons, who was there dancing with him as well, too. A lot of those kids are basically social media, big influencers, dancers, choreographers at the age of like 16, 17, 18, and have been in more music videos than any of us. Let's just say that.
It was interesting.
You don't know how many music videos I've been in. Please don't.
It was interesting, though, because I did show a friend this, and they were like, it's almost not funny because it's too on the nose.
The song?
That's funny.
Yeah. I loved it, though. Like, I think it was perfect. I mean, you're right. It was too on the nose, but it is what it is, right?
It was my dream. So
I mean, it was all our dreams.
I was like, man, that's a great way. I would love to have done. I had secretly always wanted to be a train wreck in Hollywood, and it was great to be called
out. So it really spoke to you.
It did.
But, I mean, that was the song we got, and it was fun. I think it showcased, you know, a lot of harsh realities that a lot of these child stars go through.
Yeah, and still go through.
And still go through. But
as we mentioned.
Let's move on to our news and gossip section. I would do the crazy meter, but I just feel like none of us are going to give her a crazy this episode.
She was good.
So that's why I wanted to skip over that one.
Yeah, she wasn't that crazy.
So I did pull up. We have a video that Rachel Bloom did an interview with Allure, and they had her do a cover, and they had her write a song for it. So if we can get that pulled up, we'll play that in just a moment. But she basically wrote this song for Allure, and it's very her fashion, where she's basically calling out a lot of different things going on in Hollywood. I have the lyrics down here while we get that video pulled up. But she just is basically calling out things of, you know, with, again, women with their orgasms, where she's exploded on the show before. Also with the male gaze and everything like that. So she's really diving into that, and then also did an interview with the Allure magazine. They really wanted her to be part of this because they were fans of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Nice.
Cool. So it sounds like we have that video up, and I'll pull up why they wanted her to do this song after we watch it.
When I was 17, fashion magazines told me a lot of things about what to be. Get Angelina's red carpet dresses in just 3 easy steps. Learn these kegels and you'll come from just a heavy breeze. But now that I'm on the cover of Allure, here are some hot tips you maybe haven't heard before. Or maybe you've heard them before, just pretend you haven't heard them before. I needed a good rhyme for Allure. 2, 3, you'll never get Angelina's. Angelina couldn't get those dresses. Those dresses were done by experts, and it took 3 hours and cost $3,000. Come however you want to, with spots, E, F, or G. But FYI, most women can't come just vaginally. All orgasms come from the clit, even vaginal ones. The nerves are based in the clit. And finally, there's so much more to say.
So that's her cover title. They wanted to do a musical song because they wanted to really portray who she was, and they are fans of the show, and they felt that having a moving title was the only way to do it.
Well, they did have the tape on the back just to show you everything's taped up. That was very cool. Mm-hmm. The lyrics, of course, were very her style of doing a song. She was wiping off the makeup, which is symbolic of who she is as a person. It's cute. It's fun. Also, filler.
I think it was good. As for our interview or whatnot, I think it got her point across, and she's the perfect person to have as that kind of spokesperson for what they're trying to portray or what they're trying to show in that article or whatnot. The tape in the back, you know, definitely shows not everything is what it seems like, and there is just a lot of things that are keeping and sticking.
Yeah,
Hollywood and glam.
I mean, that's her. That's her entire.
That's her brand. Yeah.
Is pointing out the things in Hollywood or the things that we see in media that are not true.
So I wouldn't say it's filler. I think it's actually a really good choice for the person and for the story that they're trying to convey.
So she did that, and also she is going to be hosting the SAG-AFTRA Foundation's Patron of the Artists Award as well.
Nice. Okay. Wonderful.
And I want to explain what I meant by filler. Mm. Nothing she said in that song was mind blowing. And she has done mind-blowing things before. And nothing she said in that song was new or useful information. It was, I feel like with her, had she taken the time and done, especially you're doing something for Allure, mm-hmm. which is, you know, right up there with Cosmo or any of those, she could have done a magnificent song, something that was mind-blowing and eye-opening and especially spoke to a lot of girls who look up to her.
I still think at that point it's just not talked about enough. So any way you go about it, you know, I think if by watching the show we see it all the time, and maybe we want more because we see more on the show, but that topic is still, or you know, isn't portrayed that way. Not a lot, you know what I mean? And there would be no other person. Just the topic of not being perfect or not being, you know,
that's Hollywood. Everything and all we talk about now. So when you're like, it's not being in the past, mm-hmm. maybe, but now it's what everyone talks about.
We're not talking the way about, she talks about it, though.
Well, which is one, why I wanted her to talk about it the way she talks about it.
The one part of the song that I will say is something that isn't talked about a lot, because I do think that the first and third part are, is the female orgasm. I think that I haven't heard too many people actually talk about that in extent.
You should listen to more comedy. But
maybe I should.
The concept is she talks about that, and that's something that where she pushed the envelope, and that is... And the epiphany moment of the song is, it's okay. It's not so much the female orgasm or the information, but it's okay for women to have sexuality and power in their own sexuality. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's something that's very admirable for her, that she pushes that development. And I wish it existed more in the world. But everything else was almost cliche. And some of it was, I dare say, hacky. And so I expect more of her the way I expect more from the season. It was a bit of filler. Is it enjoyable? Honestly, she's a genius. Everything she does is going to be enjoyable.
But is that maybe you hold her to a higher standard because of that? You keep and wanting her to be pushing it more?
And that's okay. And I think that's totally fine.
When I watch an Adam Sandler movie, I expect Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't have Dave Chappelle genius expectations for it. Mm-hmm. For her, I do. I expect a combination of the two. I expect something that's brilliant and entertaining.
That's and fair. Nonetheless, we're talking about it. So that's the big, you know, that's a big thing.
That's fair. That's all right, guys. We are unfortunately out of time. Really quick, let's each give one fast prediction.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Because they mentioned Greg in this, I think Greg's going to be coming in the next 2-3 episodes. They need him.
Tucker comes back. Nathaniel wins it over by the end, and she enjoys the toxicity.
Agreed.
I definitely don't think this is the last we'll see. I don't. Even though she said it's over, her and Nathaniel, not over. And next episode, because I saw the little preview, we definitely will get Scott. So I think we're going to deal a little more with Paula and her family.
There we go.
That's my predictions. All right, guys. We will see you all next week. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you want to let them know where you guys can be found in the meantime?
Find me at I Am Tehran, IAMTEHRAN, all across the board. And, of course, on a variety of shows here at AfterBuzz and BHL. And at the Laugh Factory every Monday and Thursday at 10 p.m.
You can catch me at Nina Lanero on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and all that good stuff. Follow me and let's talk.
And you guys can find me at Bri, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Twitter and Instagram. And I'll be on the Hulu's Into the Dark show later this week. So follow me to find out when that's going to be. Yeah. And we will see you guys later.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.